Sophisticated fishing fleets are wiping out the world's most famous trophy fish. That's the gist of the cover story in this week's Nature. The study says fishermen have taken more than 90% of the biggest predatory fish out of the world's oceans since the 1950s. If present trends continue, the study warns that species such as marlin and swordfish may become extinct in the near future. NPR's John Nielsen has more.
You're sitting in a tiny fishing boat way out at sea when suddenly a monster fish takes the hook and runs with it. You think about that passage in the Hemingway book where the old man meets his marlin.
He saw him first as a dark shadow that took so long to pass under the boat that he could not believe its length. "No," he said, "he can't be that big." But he was that big.
Those who want to live that scene had better hurry up, says biologist Ransom Myers of Dalhousie University in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Myers and a colleague spent the last 10 years sorting through a mountain of global fishing records to find out whether predatory fish like tuna, swordfish, marlin, cod, and halibut were significantly bigger and more numerous before the fishermen arrived.
The tunas were twice as big as they are now. And the big marlins could actually eat tunas for breakfast. These were at the same trophic level as killer whales.
Big fish are always the first to go when commercial fishing boats arrive. Myers says 90% of these giants are usually caught in the first 15 years. He says that's what happened to the giant swordfish in the western Atlantic and the giant bluefin tuna off the coast of Brazil. Similar things have happened in other fisheries around the world. Myers says this fishing has now become a threat to the survival of entire species, and not just to the biggest fish. He says the loss of the giants puts the little fish at risk by allowing other species to move in and crowd them out of existence. Fisheries recover very slowly from this kind of a change, if they recover at all. Problems are compounded by the longline fleets that catch fish they weren't even looking for on the millions of hooks they pull behind them. Myers says there's only one solution.
We have to cut back fishing by at least 50%. And if it's not done, we'll have the large species go extinct, the large pelagic species.
Environmental groups endorse this plan. Fishermen and government scientists think it's completely unrealistic. Mike Sissonwine, director of science programs at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, says fish-related businesses around the world would be ruined.
That's a social and economic choice that society makes, not scientists. For a large part of the world where fishing isn't just about luxury white tablecloth products, but is about survival, it's not a particularly viable choice to make.
John Sacton, president of a business called Seafood.com, doesn't think Myers has proven the link between the loss of the giants and their imminent extinction. He says the key to keeping fisheries stable is making sure the fish get a chance to reproduce before they get caught, and this often happens long before the fish become giants.
What I think has happened is that in many stocks, the reproductive potential has been maintained, even if in some cases the, let's say, average size or the largest and oldest individuals has declined.
NOAA's latest survey of American fisheries seems to support that notion, reporting a broad recovery in the nation's fish stocks. But Myers stands by his findings. He says he got the same response when he started warning Canadian fishermen that cod stocks in the George's Bank were about to collapse. Those fish are now on the Canadian Endangered Species List. John Nielsen, NPR News, Washington.